Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas for success. Your host is internationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author, Steve Klein, who sits down with fascinating playmakers who have made themselves and their company successful. Steve will introduce you to CEOs and executives who discuss their playmaking path toward success. And now, it's time to meet this show's playmaker. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
An unknown author said, "There is no limit to what we can do. We just need to find the triggering device." Welcome, Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today is a guest who has found the Scholastic triggering device. Today's playmaker was able to almost double the graduation rate at Sunset High School in Dallas. With us today is a CEO who dropped out of high school. This great playmaker is Richard Marquez. Richard is president and CEO of Texans Can Academies. Richard has served as president and CEO since March of 2007. Prior to Texans Can Academies, Richard was special advisor to the Secretary of Education, United States Department of Education, superintendent for a South Texas school district, area superintendent for Dallas ISD, high school principal, middle school teacher, and a successful entrepreneur training in school districts across the country. Now, celebrating 31 years of providing the highest quality education for all students, Texans Can Academies are public charter high schools throughout Texas, welcoming students ages 14 to 21 who have struggled in traditional high schools. This unique network of 13 charter schools are located in Dallas, Fort Worth, Garland, Austin, Houston, and San Antonio. All schools are tuition-free, open enrollment, and public high schools of choice that accept students throughout the academic year. While Richard was principal, the first dual credit course allowed students to gain college credit while attending high school was begun. An alumni association to raise funds for the schools created, and a school store became an entrepreneurial center managing fundraisers and student sales, grossing over $175,000 annually. With Richard's direction, an infant care facility to care for the children of students was opened in a local church through a partnership with the YMCA. Lots to talk about. Richard, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you.
Now, I mentioned before, you're a high school dropout.
Yes, sir.
How did that experience impact what you do today?
It gave me all the insight into exactly what kids go through when those kinds of things happen in terms of what occurred, why it occurred, and how to go about changing it.
Now, you dropped out of school. What did you do when you dropped out?
Well, it's interesting. The little sticks in the wieners to make corny dogs, I did that 40 hours a week. That was kind of an interesting job. And then I worked at an optical company. That was another fine profession. And then I laid carpet. I learned to lay carpet with a friend who hired me. And I used to sing with a band on weekends, so I had a lot to do. I thought I was doing well in the world until I got drafted, and my whole world changed in 1967 in March when I wound up at Fort Polk, Louisiana. Interesting things happened at Fort Polk, Louisiana. I passed all the tests to go to Officers Candidate School, which immediately told me I was intelligent enough to do that, but I didn't realize that I was that intelligent. The other thing that happened is I passed all the tests to get my GED, so I got my GED in the service. And so the service became a very important part of my life in terms of developing structure and giving me a good feeling about what I was able to do in life. But I went to Catholic school as a kid, and so the service wasn't much different than having to deal with the nuns.
And the nuns might have been more difficult than dealing with the service when you were when you were serving too. Now, the fact that you dropped out of school and you had a number of jobs you were doing, that probably gave you a lot of insight in understanding how these kids are thinking at Texans Can Academies.
Yes.
And
yes.
I'm sure that has brought you to where you are today. So how did you get into this industry? Let's talk about you were in the service and you went to school, but there's a reason why you continued your education. That's part of because your family. Talk about that for a moment.
Well, you know, I come from a family where my brothers and sisters struggled. I'm one of 14 children. And so I have older siblings who actually worked their way and got through college. My older brother is a Vietnam War vet, and he went to school on the GI Bill afterwards. And so there was an impetus to go to school. And so when I was 24 years of age, I was working at the Sears Center, Computer Center, and I decided one Sunday afternoon, we're watching the Cowboy games, and I said, you know, I need to go to college. I'm going to go part-time. And my brother said, you're an idiot. Nobody goes to school part-time and finishes. He said, if you're committed, quit your job and go to school. That was December. In January, I was going to El Centro College on the GI Bill. I was married and had one child. But from that day forward, I decided I was going to go to college. And so 4 years later, I graduated from the University of North Texas with my teaching certification.
That was a major commitment in your life also. Matter of fact, you've made a number of major commitments, which got you to where you are. But how did you get in this industry? How did you decide that what you want to do is give back to these kids and help them begin to think more effectively and turn their lives around?
Well, it kind of happened on my first year teaching. You know, you don't know if you really want to be a teacher until you walk into that classroom, you start interacting with them. And all of a sudden, my ability to communicate with them was somewhat different than anybody else's. I could always get their attention. I could always get them to do what it is I wanted them to do. It's kind of an interesting aspect. It was kind of like I connected almost immediately. And so my standards were always very high for them, because I always felt like that was one of the detriments where I went to high school, was the standards were so low. And so I really enjoyed the classroom. I loved every moment of it. As a matter of fact, 1 year I drove the bus. I had two routes. I worked at Griner Middle School. I had two routes in the morning, two in the afternoon after school. I ran the lunchroom, three lunch periods, and I taught my five classes. And I never thought anything about it. And so it was just enjoyable. And people would think, what are you, crazy? It was just a very enjoyable job.
Now, you mentioned that you developed a lot of rapport with these kids, probably better than a lot of your colleague teachers that were teaching, too. Correct me if I'm wrong. My guess is you believed in these kids, and they probably understood that. Is that correct?
Yes. They knew that what I was telling them was true, and they knew that I had their best interest at heart, and it made a huge difference. I had that same success wherever I went, wherever I was around kids.
Well, let's talk about Texas Can Academies. Let's talk about what you do, because you've been in scholastic work all your life, from your beginning teaching out of University of North Texas. How did you get to Texas Can Academies, and what is Texas Can Academies?
Well, I was out consulting after I left the superintendency, and I was working on Dr. Feirstein's work, the whole aspect of neuroplasticity. And so I developed a process for reading, for teaching reading using Dr. Feirstein's platform, for teaching reading and thinking in unison one with the other. And so once I developed that process, I had to put it into practice somewhere. And so Texans Can, at that point, had 10 schools. It was a perfect laboratory for me to take what I've already built, put it into a place where I could actually begin to use it and develop it. And so I took the job at Texas Can, not because I really wanted it. I took the job at Texas Can because I needed it. And the interesting thing is, the Can at that particular time was really suffering. And I think the good Lord put Texas Can and I on this collision path that's worked out to be a really good, solid decision.
Well, apparently Texas Can needed you, and you needed Texas Can, and it came together at the right time. Who are your students?
Well, they're the kids. You know, we talk about them all the time. They're the kids whose parents probably don't like them a lot when they hit those teenage years. They're the kids who people don't know what to do with. They're the ones that people don't understand. And they're the ones who have suffered through many aspects of life, who come in, who've had a lot of trauma in their lives, who've been failures much of their lives at everything they've tried to do in terms of their educational lives. And in their social lives, they've also been failures.
How do you find them, or how do they find you?
They find us. You know, I learned a long time ago that students have a great communication system, and you can't lie to them. You can't tell them a school is great. You can't put it in the paper and publish all the newspapers and say what you want to say. The kids in the school know if it's good or not, and they tell each other quietly about these schools and how they do and what they do. And so it's all word of mouth, not necessarily all word of mouth. We do visit the high schools, engage with the counselors there, because there are kids sitting in the classrooms who shouldn't be there anyway. They should be with us. And so they walk in the front door day in and day out. We actually enrolled every day except maybe for a couple of weeks during the year. We'll take any child that walks in the front door. We don't care where they've been, what they've done. As long as they want to come to school, we'll take care of everything else. So that's us. Between the ages of 14 and 21, but we've stretched those boundaries also. We've had a 26-year-old walked in one day, only needed a couple of credits. So we graduated the kid, and the state of Texas got on us, but we didn't care. You know, we did something right.
As long as they're motivated.
That's right.
And they want to learn. Well, let's talk about what they're learning in your schools, because it's not your standard, typical education process. What do you do differently that's helping these kids turn around their thinking so they can believe and be successful once they graduate from Texas Cans?
Well, the first key is literacy. If you're not literate, you're going to be victim in terms of the world, and you're not going to be able to do a lot. You could be the most intelligent kid out there, but if you're not literate, you're going to fail those tests. You're not going to do well, and you're not going to be able to fill out applications. You're going to struggle. So the first thing we concentrate our efforts on is to teach you how to read, make you literate. The next aspect of what we do is we teach you how to think. So in every class that you have, be it math, science, social studies, language arts, you have to read, and discussion is the most important aspect of what goes on in the classroom. So what we say is we use math, science, social studies, and English as a tool to teach you how to read and think, not the other way around.
So these kids didn't get this in regular school. Your teachers must be, the words I'm thinking about are either different or elite, and they understand how to get to these kids. What's the difference between the teachers that teach in Texas Can Academies compared to the teachers out in typical school system? Because you've worked in those systems before, too.
Yes, but the teachers that come to work at the Can were the same as the teachers who were out there in the regular classrooms. We had to change them by changing their skill sets. So we have a training component where every teacher is trained on how to teach reading and thinking. So there's nothing left to the imagination. There is a process. We do have metrics, and we teach them all how to teach reading and thinking using their curriculums. And so the real gist of it is the kids have to do the work. They have to learn how to do the work. And the teacher needs to stop talking, and the teacher needs to start asking questions. And so that's been a very difficult thing for them to learn to do. But as the years have progressed, they've gotten better and better and better. And we have gotten better. We're better at training people on how to do that. We have a system that is recurring, that happens day in and day out, classroom to classroom. So there isn't much left in terms of it other than teacher intelligence.
You mentioned Feirstein a little while ago,
yes.
FIE, Feirstein Instrumental Enrichment. Tell us more about what that is and how that ties in with what your teachers are doing.
Well, the reading platform, as I told you, was inspired by Dr. Feirstein's work. Dr. Feirstein was a survivor of the Holocaust. And so he had a belief system that said that humans come into this world with a blank slate, and it's the humans they interact with that make them thinkers or lack of thinking, should I say, also in some situations. But Dr. Feirstein believed that you could impact the human brain at any point in its continuum, that you could actually re-engage that brain, regardless of where it was, if you use appropriate methods and appropriate structures, i.e. mediation. So there's never any lack of hope for any human being, regardless of their circumstance. So from as early on as we can teach you to as late in life as we can change you, that humans have that ability if they have someone and processes to help you do that. So he built 14 separate curriculums that address every aspect of the cognitive structures of the human brain. Now, he did this in the 1960s and 70s, which is unheard of. And so only today is it finally getting out to the point where people are beginning to see it around the world. They use it in Singapore, they use it in China, Australia, all over the Europe and different parts of the Middle East. And so we have it here in the United States. And we're the largest implementation of this program anywhere in the United States. And to be honest with you, much of the world, because we have over 5,000 students who are in these classes on a daily basis, learning how to restructure their cognitive aspects of their lives and become good decision makers. So pretty amazing stuff.
It is amazing stuff. Is this going to, is this moving into the general school system beyond just Texas CAN?
Well, that's what our hope is. Our hope is that it will become part of what occurs in schools in general. I didn't build this thing for it just to live at the Texas CAN. I built it so that it could be used on children in general. We have 3- and 4-year-olds who are reading and thinking. We're using Dr. Feirstein's work in early childhood. And it's an amazing thing to watch these 3- and 4-year-olds read. But they not only read, engage you in fantastic conversations. Some of them actually do math, two-digit math. I had a kid sit next to me doing two-digit math a few weeks ago. And I asked him, I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm doing math. He said, I like it. And I thought to myself, whoa, what a change. But this summer, we're the World Conference, in terms of the World Conference from Jerusalem, is coming to Dallas-Fort Worth, June the 18th through the 30th. People can come get trained on these methodologies, teachers, psychologists, sociologists, people who deal with people with dementia and Alzheimer's. It's the most amazing system ever found any in the world.
I understand that's going to be, again, Sunday, June 19th through Friday, June 30th at the Hilton DFW Lakes Executive Conference Center. How can they find out more about that? Because they go to Texas CAN?
They can go to the Texas CAN website and find it.
So the FIE conference is going to be in June, but you also take care of some of the kids that have their own kids. You've developed something called the We Can Academy.
Yes.
Talk about that and how much success you're having there.
Well, that's where the 3- and 4-year-olds are actually reading. 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds we have actually reading. That's that. Those are the children of our children. But it's also community people. They come, our centers are, we have 5, I believe, at the present time. And they're open to the public. But our students need a place to have their children. And so you break the cycle of poverty when you have them both in school.
And now these youngsters are actually teaching and helping their parents, and they're doing it together.
Yes. Yes, because they're both using, the interesting thing is, they're both using the same systems in the high school and in the early childhood component. The exact same systems, which is the most amazing thing.
Well, I understand you also put together something called Marquez Reading.
That's the process we teach kids how to read. That's the 3- and 4-year-olds, that's the process they're using. The high schoolers, that's the process they're using, Marquez Reading. But the process works in third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade. You know, when third graders don't know how to read in Texas, we figure that they're probably going to wind up in prison. And we've done that for many, many years. Well, third graders can be taught to read. So you can re-engage them in that whole reading process. You don't have to let them go on that bad path. You can change them. Same thing goes for fourth and fifth graders. You can re-engage people in reading all the way along the continuum, which is something that we never thought of. We felt like if they didn't learn to read early, they'd never learn to read. But that's not true. Human beings can be changed regardless of where they are in the continuum.
And along with that, that also helps them increase their math and science scores. Is that correct?
Yes. As a matter of fact, that's been the interesting aspect of it. 10 years ago, when I walked into the can, I told the board members that I would increase the math and science scores at the can, which were in single digits in those days, by doing reading, which seems counterintuitive. Well, it's actually the truth. That's actually what's happened. One of our employees did a doctoral study on our data, and that's exactly what the outcome has been. The math scores and the science scores and the social studies scores outpaced any of the other learning that occurred. And so we have kids doing great work in math and science now, which is not supposed to happen in schools in America today. Math and science isn't supposed to catch up with reading.
Just because they now understand how to read and they're literate. Well, I found out more about you through a friend of mine who's also on Playmakers Talk Show, who is an auctioneer and works with Cars for Kids. Let's talk about that, because this is a way for the public to get involved with the can. What is Cars for Kids, and how can the public get involved with that?
Well, that's our fundraising arm. It's been around for a long time. People donate their vehicles. We auction them off. That's Mike Jones who's our auctioneer. We auction them off, and then we take the money and we use it at the schools. We get a certain amount of money from the state, but it's limited in terms of what we can use it for. So we need dollars for other things that these kids need. The kids need glasses, so we have to have money for their glasses. Dentistry. Sometimes they need just a good meal, and so we have to be able to provide them with food sometimes. Other aspects like counseling. You know, psychological counseling is not something we can actually pay for using state dollars, unless we hire somebody internal, and we can't afford to do that. And so then there's sometimes they need a place to stay overnight. And sometimes we have homeless children who need more than that. So there are all kinds of needs that we have to fulfill. Even the basics of having to have a uniform and a pair of shoes. The money has to come from somewhere. So when people donate their vehicles to us, that's where the money goes on Cars for Kids. It goes back into our schools.
And I like the slogan for Cars for Kids, right off the car, not the kid.
And that's exactly what it means, because that's what it's doing.
Well, tell everybody how they can find out more about this great association with, as you call it, the CAN. Tell us about some of the websites they can visit to get involved.
Well, I mean, they can just go to our texanscan.org website. If you go to that one, you'll find all the others wrapped in there, and you'll find the schools, and you'll find all the other things. We're feeling very good about our new web page and our new website and our new look. We call it CAN 3.0. You know, CAN 1.0 was kind of survival CAN. CAN 2.0 was kind of stability CAN. And CAN 3.0 is leadership CAN. We intend to become the leaders in the business of educating humans. And we have to get better at it. So we've challenged ourselves to become even better than we are today, and then to push out what we know to the general population so that they can have as much of a chance as our kids are getting today.
Well, you must agree that the human mind is the next major frontier.
It definitely is. And when I was in Israel in 2013, I saw an individual who only has half a brain, fully functioning as you and I do. I couldn't imagine how that could ever happen. But they did it in Israel at the Furstein Institute. So the brain is powerful. It doesn't have to settle for what it is today. It can be changed tomorrow. And so dementia can be retarded and slowed down. people can be taught to read if you're 40, 50, and 60 years of age. So there's so much that the human brain can do that we've only begun to tap.
That's fascinating. Richard, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you very much.
You are definitely a playmaker. This has been a terrific show. It's been great having Richard with us on the show. Richard Marquez, President and CEO of Texans Can Academies. Join us again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join Steve again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com for more interviews with interesting and successful playmaking CEOs and executives.
Playmakers.